Morning, church family. So this quality of gentleness, I don't see much of it in our society today. And maybe it's just me, but I've observed that gentleness is rare in our culture. And it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a non-Christian, this is something that we all struggle with. In a recent national-wide Gallup poll conducted by some folks at Pennsylvania University, both Christians and non-Christians readily admitted that gentleness was lacking in their lives. Are you known to be someone who raises your voice? That was the question that stumped them all, and I believe would stump me as well. I mean, I'm right there with them. I mean, the Christians, according to the poll, scored just a little bit higher to that question, but it really didn't matter. They both realized that this was a quality that they struggled to exemplify, to demonstrate in their lives, and I'm certainly right there with them. Call it a lack of patience or an absence of gentleness. Either way, I'm deficient. And so what is it? What is it about this quality of God that gives us fits? Why do we struggle to control our strength and our power in order to demonstrate care and concern for other people, much like the video just displayed? Perhaps the greatest question pertaining to this idea, to this virtue, is this. If Jesus is core to our lives, then why aren't there more Christians that are noticeably gentler than those who do not follow the gentle healer? Why isn't it more evident? Why isn't it there a more noticeable difference in our lives? Well, when the Apostle Paul chose this word for gentleness in the list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, I believe he was very intentional. He chose a word that in the first century was very well connected to the medical world, and it carried the idea of a mild medication. And so, in other words, today we might say that a person who is gentle with this word that Paul is using is easy on the stomach. And isn't that a great picture, a word picture for gentleness? Someone who is gentle and humble in heart, they're easy on the stomach. Think it in terms of contrast here. Think about a churning stomach. Think about that nauseating feeling that you have when you're anticipating coming into the same proximity as someone who is arrogant and harsh. And you're anticipating that moment of coming into their presence, and it makes your stomach turn. You see the contrast. When I think of humble and gentle at heart, my mind automatically goes to Bailey McBride. And I've mentioned his name before you in times past, but just his demeanor and his personality, just who he is in nature, is humble and gentle. He's calm, he's compassionate, he's considerate. He's always easy on my stomach. And so when I would see him coming at church or on the campus of Oklahoma Christian University, I would get this good feeling inside because I knew that that's just who Bailey is. He's meek, he's humble, he's gentle, and it was easy on my stomach. And so I just want to pause, and I want you to truly ask yourself, are you gentle and humble in heart? Are you easy on others' stomachs? Or do people squirm just a bit when they see you coming? Okay, so we'll come back to that in just a moment, all right? Hang on to that. Another visual that I want you to consider is the intent of this word, gentleness, that Paul chooses. Another arena where it was connected was tamed animals. And I want you to specifically think about horses here. Horses are nearly 1,000 pounds and have the potential to seriously injure or even kill human beings. And yet, we can walk up to the vast majority of horses and we can brush them, we can pet them, we can ride them, and we can deem them as gentle. Is that a negative reflection on their power and their strength? No, not at all. It's actually a beautiful reflection of their nature once they have matured. And so maybe we could pause and actually learn a vital lesson from these beasts, these gentle beasts, that gentleness is indeed power and strength that is controlled. And I want you to listen closely to this because we get this wrong so often. It's been passed down to us from other people and it's incorrect. Here's the truth. A gentle person is not a weak person. And we have believed the opposite of that. A gentle person is actually someone who is really strong. Someone who is secure. I mean, did you see Brian in the video? He's secure in who he is, right? That person who is gentle is mature. Think about the opposite one more time. A gentle person is the exact opposite of an angry harshness that grows out of a personal pride and a dominating selfishness. And so if we are truly striving to become more and more like Jesus Christ, if we're truly striving to be like Jesus through this virtue of gentleness, then how does that change the way that we live and treat other people? Well, the first thing I want us to think about is if we truly are pursuing gentleness, then we will choose to be thoughtful. We will choose to be thoughtful. We will take the time to assess the whole situation and we will get the whole story before we make a decision or judge. We don't move through life like a bull in a china shop, destroying people along the way, but we actually care about the human beings along the journey. We do our best to not take things for granted or to ignore obvious situations that need a gentle touch. And this is where I'm horrible. I will often just speed by a situation unknowingly. It needs a gentle touch, and I'm just walking on by. So often what that looks like for me is, hey, how you doing? And not stopping to listen to the actual answer. Remember this, it's the verse that Keith read for us moments ago, Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And so I want to just rest on that thought for a minute that many of us are guilty of this unthoughtful Sunday morning. Hey, how are you doing? Smile. And as soon as we get past them, what a horrible morning. And we just kind of fake it. And we ask that question with good intentions, but really we don't stop thoughtfully to listen. I mean, what if someone were to actually answer not good? Or what if someone were in the gathering room emotional? Would we stop to listen? I had a good friend of mine several years ago come to my office in Oklahoma after a church service on Sunday, and he was emotional. I said, what's wrong? And he said, well, I just found out yesterday that my mother passed away. And I was offering my condolences and listening, and he started to tell me, I got a phone call yesterday in between Bible class and worship, and it just sent me into a frenzy. And he said, it's totally unlike me to be emotional in public, but I just started weeping. He said, I just sat down in the lobby and wept for a moment. And at that point, I stopped him. I had my little minister hat, and I said, wait a minute. Did anyone stop and check on you, minister to you, ask if everything was okay? He said, no, but no, I'm new here though, so that's okay. And I said, no, that's exactly why someone should have stopped and asked if everything was okay. And so I just thought about that story as I was putting this message together, thinking, may the people of God always strive to be a reflection of gentleness by our thoughtfulness toward others. Never pass by that opportunity. Another way gentleness makes a difference in our lives and the lives of others is when we choose to be considerate. And these are similar but different. When we're in a position to make a decision, we consider the impact on others. We put ourselves into their shoes and imagine how they might feel with this decision or that decision. We take the time, as the people of God, we take the time to study the people that God has put into our lives. And when I say study them, I don't mean stalk them. I mean to get to know them And we begin to realize what energizes them. We begin to realize what buttons not to push. And so often we do the opposite of that, right? We learn the buttons to push. And a gentle person is considerate, and we learn the buttons not to push. Listen to 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This verse specifically points us toward opportunities to share our life and our faith with other people. And so often we're heavy-handed with our convictions. We don't take the time to consider where the other person might be, or to realize and consider that they too have a story. And so, I mean, maybe this is just where I came from, but I think you're with me. So often we're quick to press upon them our beliefs and our convictions without considering their story and their beliefs. And so one of my favorite things to do in a conversation with people is, hey, will you just share with me how you came to know the Lord? Talk to me about how you came to know and to follow Jesus. And I love to listen to their stories. But then if they're not a Christian, I'll say, you know, none of us are immune to love. And you may not have accepted the love of God as I know God, but would you just talk to me how you've experienced love? And oftentimes there's a segue in there where I can say something like, thank you for sharing with me. And I just want you to know that that's how I've experienced God's love in my life, except that God's love is perfect. His love is unfailing. His love is unconditional. It never fails. And then I share with them how Jesus has changed my life. And so we have this interchanging of stories. It's not about being right. It's not about being wrong. But I get to listen to some of their journey, and they get to listen to some of mine. And that's a gentle way, a considerate way about sharing our faith. But the part about gentleness this morning that I really want to sit on is we begin to make a difference in others' lives and even in our own lives when we choose to be calm. And this goes back to that question on the Gallup poll, right? Because I'm not very good at being calm, especially in stressful situations, in situations where I'm opposed or I feel like I'm being pressured. It's hard for me to remain calm. And we all have those moments. But I want us to remember something this morning. There is great strength in power when we're able to hold and express our convictions with calm confidence. I hope those words paint a different picture for you. A calm confidence. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me to John 19. Bibles, your Bible apps, open them up with me. And in John 19, we're toward the end of Jesus' life and ministry. He's actually just been flogged. And Pilate, the Roman governor of the time, is hoping that this beating, this flogging, will be enough to set Jesus free. Because if you read the story, if you read the narrative, I believe that Pilate believes that Jesus is actually innocent. And he doesn't want the blood of this innocent man on his hands. And so he's trying to convince the Jewish crowd, who is just out of control, angry, that this man is actually innocent. And so he has him flogged, he has him beaten, and he's hoping that that's enough. And in John 19, we find ourselves in the palace of Pilate. And he comes back out to the crowd, and he tries to reason with them. Isn't this enough? And they say, no, crucify him. Crucify him. And picking up in verse 7, the Jews insisted, we have a law. And according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God. And when Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. And he went back inside to the palace. Where do you come from? And I want you to imagine the emotion, the anxiety, the fear that Pilate now has. He's anxious. He comes in and he looks at Jesus. I'm sure Jesus is in some type of posture of slumping or something. He's just been beaten. Probably head bowed. Maybe he's on the ground, I don't know. But Pilate comes in and he's anxious and he's afraid. where did you come from? Notice what John writes. Jesus did not answer him. And so that makes Pilate even what? Even more mad. Look at me. You're going to resist talking to me now? Don't you realize I have the power to set you free or to crucify you? And you're not going to answer me? And that's when Jesus does answer. And he tells Pilate, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." And remember Jesus' posture here. He's not yelling back at Pilate. He's worn out. He's exhausted. He's been beaten. And so I envision him looking up and glancing at Pilate and just saying with calm confidence, "You would have no power over me unless it was given to you from above." That, church, is a gentle answer under extreme pressure. I envision Jesus' gentle answer here because he had all the power, all the strength he needed to free himself. And yet he chose to be calm, to be humble before men, and to be faithful before the Father. And as you reflect on that, as you reflect on Jesus' example, I want you to return now to your self-evaluation. And I want you to ask yourself the question again, do you believe that you are a person that exudes gentleness or not? Do people look forward to seeing you or do they dread it? And you know what the problem is in this gentleness self-evaluation? You know what the number one problem is? It's me. It's you. Because if the truth be told, we don't believe that we have a problem with gentleness. Our lack of gentleness is not an issue for us. It's not. And we justify it in our minds because our outburst, our irrational responses are justified to fix the mess that the other people are making. It's the ignorance of the other people. It's the rudeness of the other people. That's why I have to have these outbursts. That's why I have to have these irrational responses. And we push the blame on others. We say things like, "Someone has to clean up this mess that they're making." And we rationalize our harshness. We rationalize our lack of gentleness. We actually come to the point that we believe our lack of gentleness is a solution to the problem. And that's a problem. If we truly want to know, if you truly want to know, if you exhibit gentleness, you have to ask someone else. You have to ask someone else who is confident in their relationship with the Lord, who will shoot you straight. You see, gentleness is an external fruit. And so when people come into your presence and they spend time with you, they're consuming that fruit. And it's either going to taste sour or it's going to taste sweet. And of course, one barrier could be if you truly do lack gentleness, if you ask others, "Am I gentle or not?" They may not be willing to tell you the truth lest you attack them. But if you find someone who's confident enough, someone that you respect, someone that you love, then they'll tell you the truth. I want to close by telling you this story. My grandfather, I call him Pawpaw, he's my only living grandparent, several years ago told me this story. He decided he was going to install a homemade mini irrigation system in his garden. The only problem is he had no idea what he was doing. And so you can begin to imagine the catastrophe that would follow. But here's how he tells the story. So he got a garden hose and he kind of snaked it in and out of his garden and he poked holes in it along the way. We've done that. Not a bad idea, right? But then he thought, I'll go to Walmart and get one of those fancy timers. So he did, and he came home, and he attached it to the faucet behind his house in the backyard, and he attached his garden hose to it, did a couple of test runs, and thought, this is going to work great. So he set the timer for 5 a.m. to go off and 6 a.m. to turn off. Well, he woke up the next morning, and by the time he got out there, not only was his garden flooded, but so was his neighbor's. His neighbor, Jim, bless his heart. He's a meticulous man. And his garden is perfect, according to him. And when he saw the flood, my papa said, you would have thought it was the remnant of Noah's flood. I mean, he was just losing his mind. And he just ripped my papa to shreds, he said. He was using expletives and lawsuit threats. And I mean, it was just horrible, my papa said. And he apologized, told Jim it would never happen again, took the timer off, and just went back to watering the garden himself. But he told me their relationship was damaged in that moment. It was damaged. Well, a few weeks go by, and Jim comes over and knocks on the door. My grandfather wasn't there. He was at the store. But my grandmother was there. I called her Mama. And let's just say she wasn't a shy person. And so Jim gets to talk to Mama. And he tells her, there's a branch from your tree coming over my roof. And I was wondering if Randall would help me trim it back. I don't mind helping it. And all of a sudden, he's being nice. So my grandmother told him, I'm sure very kindly, Jim, I'm sure Randall would love to help you, but you know, a few weeks ago, you hurt him. You hurt him. You know it was an accident, right? It was an accident. Well, Jim was taken back by that, my grandmother said, but something must have gotten through because my grandfather said that just a few hours later, they met up in the yard, and he gave a genuine apology, and you know what? They have been good friends ever since. So as we think about Jesus in John 19 and his example, as we think about stories like this from our lives, what do we learn? I know what I learn. As a Christ follower, I don't want to be a pill that is hard on someone's stomach. I want to be someone who's easygoing. I want to strive to be someone that is gentle and humble. And when people see me coming, I don't want them to go, oh. That was an Inside Out movie quote, if you weren't with. Okay, not Inside Out. What was it? Home, thank you. My wife is always a good movie buff to correct me. And so I want to be a gentle person that people don't dread coming to see. But you know what the problem is it's hard to self-identify sometimes, that problem. And so if you dare this week, find someone like Mama who will shoot you straight. Someone who will just look you in the eyes and say, you know, you can be a bit harsh. You can be a bit overbearing sometimes. And whatever they tell you, if you dare to ask someone, am I gentle in heart? Do I exemplify gentleness in my life? When they tell you the truth, then do what's necessary to become more like Jesus. Do what it takes. And remember this promise from our Lord today. I know we had response time already, but here in a moment when I pray, if you've never said yes to the Lord, would you consider it? And let someone know that you want to know more. Let someone know that you want to obey the Lord. Because listen to his promise for you and for me today. From Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke up on you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Listen, our sin doesn't shock Jesus. It just doesn't. And so whatever it is, he will receive you gently. And he will lovingly restore you. And he will graciously welcome you home. Let me pray for us. Father God, we see your heart example here. We see Jesus, you exemplifying such strength under control in a difficult situation. And Lord, we long to demonstrate that kind of gentleness. God, would you correct our hearts when we believe that gentleness is weakness? Would you remind us that there is great strength, there is security and maturity in being people of gentleness, people after your own heart? So God, help us to foster this, to cultivate this in our lives. Help us to encourage the others around us. When we see gentleness, when we identify gentleness, help us to encourage that in others and help us to live it out ourselves. We love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.